Well, good evening, Potters. Welcome to our Wednesday night Bible study. We are studying the book of Ephesians. We are in the second half of the book of Ephesians. Remember, the first half is our position in the Lord, and the second half, chapter 4, 5, and 6, are really focused on our walk. And so tonight we start a series of teachings, probably five different parts, I would imagine, on instruction for Christian living. And it's very practical. It's very easy to understand, which I think is always a good thing. I not a lot of effort in interpreting what Paul was meaning here. The only thing that I think that we have as a job in front of us is to really understand what it meant to the original church and then what it means to the church for today. So the old man, this concept of an old man and the battle for control is something that we see woven throughout the New Testament. Jesus said that to become a Christian, we must be born again, right? We know that, John 3:3. And that phrase there, born again, it implies that we can't just remold or remodel our current lives, that we got to start over. There has to be this 2 Corinthians 5:15 experience where, we put our trust in Jesus and we are, you know, it says that and he died for all so that we who live might live no longer for themselves, but for him who has died and rose again on our behalf. And so this new creation, this idea of a new creation, things being passed away and behold, everything becomes new. That is the idea that we see throughout the New Testament. It's something that Paul spent many writings to develop and making sure that the New Testament church understood that it wasn't just this conversion from Judaism into Christianity or being a Gentile into Christianity where you just went in and sort of remodeled your life. It wasn't a remodel. It wasn't a makeover. It was a start over. And I think that we have to understand that. And I think that as a New Testament church now, that's something that we see a lot of people doing. You know, it's like, well, you know, I'm feeling bad about the way I'm living and whatever. I'm going to go to church and see if that might help my situation. Well, going to church is never going to help if you don't go to Jesus. And some might argue and say, well, Greg, that's how you find Jesus is in church. And I am going to argue and say that sometimes, yes, we find Jesus in church, but trust me, he is more than capable of introducing himself and transforming you outside of church. That's not to say that that doesn't happen there. But I think you know my feelings on what happens in church, and sometimes it's not always the best for believers, right? Especially when we sort of usurp the whole plan and we put church as our primary form of instruction, and we choose not to instruct ourselves and feed ourselves, right? So our text tonight is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 through 24, and I'll begin reading in the NIV. It says, "So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality as to indulge in every kind of impurity. They are full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by deceitful desires, and to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in the true righteousness and holiness. Father, we pray you add blessing to your word tonight as we study, that you give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is doing and saying to the church, and may our hearts be receptive. We pray this in Jesus' name. So we have a couple of observations tonight. First of all, verse 17 says they're futile thinking. If you want to really know what that word means in the original language, it's pointless. It's pointless thinking. It's useless thinking. And he says, look, you know, with regard to the way that you think in terms of being futile, that you must not live as the Gentiles do. That is pointless, and it's not using your head. It's not using your heart. It's useless thinking, right? And then in verse 18, he talks about a hard heart. And the evidence of a hard heart comes from, you know, this fact that we get darkened because there's no light of the Lord. All the compartments of our soul, all the compartments of our spiritual house that we leave God out of, light is not able to penetrate in there, right? So if you consider your walk and your Christianity as like a home, right? The idea is that God should be welcome into every area of your home, not just certain rooms. Well, I can tell you that in your home, if Christ does not have the ability to go into that room and take up residence in that room, then the condition of that room is darkness. And not only that, it's lonely, right? It says you're alone and you're ignorant. You're ignorant. Ignorant, meaning you can know the truth, but you choose to ignore it. All symptoms are of a hardened heart. All of these things, this darkness because we refuse the light, being alone, being ignorant, these are all symptoms of a hardened heart. And we see people walking around every day who have a hardened heart. Some of them are in church, right? In verse 19, it's what I like to call spiritual leprosy, where you feel nothing. You have no feelings and you're completely desensitized. What leprosy is, a lot of people back in the day used to think that leprosy was a rash or a skin disease that you got, but all the damage that is caused to your skin is because there's no nerve endings. They don't work properly, and so you can't feel anything. And so if you have something that you're scratching, you're going to scratch it until you bleed. If you bump into something, you don't even feel it, and it gets infected, and that's where the trouble comes in, right? So all of these things, all of these behaviors led them to this spiritual leprosy where they had no feelings, and they were completely desensitized. Verse 20, it talks about these actions that are not the life of the believer. Paul simply says, look, you didn't, this is not what you inherited. This is not the life that you should be living, right? James said it this way, these things ought not to be for the life of the believer. There's just no way. They don't work, and it's not scriptural. It's not biblical. In verse 21, this discipleship process is described here, and it's essential for new believers to experience. Consider the parable of the soils. In verse 21, he said, when you heard about Christ and you were taught in him accordance with the truth that is in Jesus Christ, that is a reference to the discipleship process. And in verse 22, it says, when you were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put on your old self, right? So if we're putting off our old self, that old man, our old ways, our old thoughts, our old actions, our old desires, and our old way of thinking, and our old habits, all of that stuff needs to be taken off. The problem here is that God gives us free will, and we can choose to put it on. Remember, daily we are to clothe ourselves with the righteousness of Christ. Daily we are to take up the helmet of salvation and the belt of truth and the shield and the breastplate of righteousness. All those things are something that we do on a daily basis. And in verse 23, we are given a new mind, and that is the mind of Christ. Verse 24 talks about the new man is like God. And we are like God because we are righteous, not in our own. We are declared to be in right standing with God. Our righteousness comes from God declaring us righteous, even though we were unrighteous, even though we were separated. We're like God because he made us like us. And not only are we righteous, but we're holy. That word holy is consecrated and set apart. What Paul is doing here in this particular set of verses is he's calling on the church in Ephesus to separate themselves from the path that everybody's on. Remember, Jesus said, if you see a wide path and a lot of people on it, that's not the path for you. Your path is the narrow road. Your path is the rocky little path, and few find it, he said. So we study to show thyself approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, one who rightly divides the word of truth. When we do that, when we go about that process, we read the word just like I did, and then we have these observations that we make, right? What is it saying? What are the important points that are coming out of this? And then we try and interpret. When we interpret, we're really trying to take what was meant for the original church and now we're making it understandable for somebody who lives in today's church, right? Once we're done with that, then we find a way to apply it to our soul, and it should effect change. Every time we hear the word of God being taught, there should be some sort of change on our behalf. Some part of our life has to change because that's what God's word commands. That's what it does. So getting back to interpretation, the importance of participating in new life. Jesus used this illustration of birth because we understand that. So when Jesus talked about new life and a baby is born, a new creation is evident. So live birth, right, is followed by this transformation over time from infancy to maturity. So like my grandson was born a couple of weeks ago, and I remember holding him for the first time a couple of days after he was born. And he was just this little blob. And last night I was holding him. He's about 2 weeks old now. And I noticed that his eyes are opened up and he's looking at me and he's waving his arms around and he's learning how to cry. And he's is trying to hold his head up and he's grabbing my fingers with his hands. And there's a lot of things, a lot of new tricks that he has, right? Why? Because he's making the transformation from infancy to maturity. And these are, you know, obviously baby steps, sorry for the pun, but it's the truth. I guarantee you, if I were to wait 2 months and I'd see him in 2 months, he'd probably be unrecognizable with all the things that he has learned. And could you imagine in a year from now, and 2 years from now, and 10 years from now? That's what our walk should be like. This new life, we start off as babies, we are born again in the Spirit, and we who are dead in trespasses and our sins were brought to life, according to Romans 6:18. And we are a new creation in Christ as well, 2 Corinthians 5:17. And God changes our desires, our outlook, and our focus as we turn from this self-worship, right, to God-worship. And that's one of the things, too. You know, little babies, babies care about what they care about. I'm hungry. My diaper's dirty. I'm uncomfortable. And they cry and they whine, right? Maturity, we go from being an infant to maturity to say, yes, I'm uncomfortable, but I'll deal with it. Yes, I'm hungry, but it's my job to feed myself. Yes, I have issues, but it's my problem. And these are things I need to take care of. And I do that through focusing on my relationship with God. And I don't worship myself, right? We put on the new man. That's what this first section is really about. We're putting on the new man. Well, it would be pretty strange if we put on the new man over the old man. And we can't do that. In order to put on the new man, we got to take off the old man, right? So here's the danger of keeping two coverings, right? And that's my second point, the old man and the new man. There's many people try to bypass this transfer of ownership. They try to. They try to change their own outward behavior. They try to start going to church in an effort to feel like a Christian. However, willpower can only take us so far. Jesus did not come to reform our spiritual flesh. He came to kill it. Luke 9, Romans 6. He didn't come to reform it. He came to kill sinful flesh. The old and the new natures cannot work together. They just can't. Nor can they peacefully coexist, according to Romans 8:12. We must die to ourselves before we can experience the new life that Jesus offers. We are dying every day. In order to bring on the new, we have to die from the old every day. Every day. You guys, you get up in the morning and there are two outlooks that you have for the day. Let's call them two sets of clothing. One is the old man. It fits well. One is the new man. You're getting used to it. The old man is not disciplined. It's probably a little bit comfortable to you because that's the way you used to live. The new man might be a little bit uncomfortable because it's gonna call you to do things that you're not really used to doing, living a holy lifestyle, living a righteous lifestyle. The third point here is our new man is powered by the Holy Spirit. Every human being is composed of a body, soul, and a spirit, according to 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Before we have a relationship with God, we and new birth, we live primarily controlled by our old soul and our body, right? That's the way that we live. The spirit lies dormant inside of us, and it's like a deflated balloon. So when we transfer that ownership to Jesus and the Holy Spirit sends this rush of energy into that deflated balloon and expands that balloon, and that balloon becomes alive in us. The Holy Spirit is compared to wind in John chapter 3, verse 8, and Acts 2, 2. And that's what happens. The Holy Spirit breathes new life in. That deflated balloon becomes alive in our hearts, and he pours into our hearts and inflates the Spirit inside of us so that we can now communicate with God. And the opposite of that is a person who was formerly directed by the sin nature, he or she can now be directed by the Holy Spirit, who works to transform us into what? His image. That's an amazing thing. I'm going to go back to your wardrobe. You get up in the morning and there's that old man and there's that new man. You are completely familiar with the trouble that the old man got you into. Think about how many times a day we choose to put on the old man. And we do something so stupid that we look at ourselves at the end of the day and say, I can't believe I did that. Why am I not changing? Why do I go back? Guys, this old man, fighting this old man, is a battle to the end of your physical life. And then you will no longer battle, because that physical old man will be dead. But as long as he is alive, he will challenge you every day. He will beckon you to put him on you so that he may live. But the new man is something that God has given you that you must put on every day. And you can't put on both. You reject one and you put on the other. When you put on the old man, you're rejecting the new man. When you put on the new man, you're rejecting the old man. When the new man is put on and the old man is taken off, great things happen. So let's apply this evening. In applying this, when you put that new man on and the old man is taken off, there are three primary things that happen. More than three, but we'll focus on three. The first thing is our pastimes change. In other words, what we did before is different now. The way I lived my life before I was a Christian is different now. I live my life differently as a believer. And that's why he says that the Gentiles were in their futile thinking, right? It's going nowhere. And he said, you didn't learn to behave like that. You weren't a Christian to act like that. You became a Christian to act differently. And when the Holy Spirit comes in you, your pastimes change. You have a renewed mind. You have a renewed, different vision. You see different now. You see things different. You have new convictions, right? Your pastimes change. What you did before is unacceptable now. The way you responded to people, the way you responded to your flesh, the way you responded to, when you're put in a position to make a decision for sin or righteousness, it's changed now. You respond differently. Our pastimes change. The old way of doing things is different. Why? Because we put on the new man. The new man doesn't behave like the old man. So when we put on the new man and take off the old man, number two, our priorities change. Our priorities change. It's no longer about us. God is central in our life. Connection with him is now needful. In other words, we need to have that connection on a day-to-day basis, and we can't live without it. Where before, we didn't even know it existed. Where before, we didn't include God in anything. He wasn't central in our lives. When you put on the new man and take off the old man, God is central. Our connection with him is needful, and it's not about me anymore. We see others first. It's an other-first-centered mentality. Our priorities change. I am no longer the priority. My priority is to come alongside and build others up, especially in the church environment. When the new man is put on and the old man is taken off, number three, our passions change. We now develop a passion to serve him, where before we had a passion to serve ourselves. We have a passion to serve others, where before it was all about us. We have a passion to worship him alone, where before we were just worshiping ourselves. Think about your pastimes. Think about your priorities. Think about your passions. Have they changed? You say, Greg, yeah, see, some have, some haven't, but I go back and forth. James says that we could be like a wave tossed by the ocean, wherever it wants to go. The new man is not tossed. The new man is not moved. The new man is not shaken. The new man is completely focused. The new man does not engage in civilian affairs. The new man puts his hand on the plow and does not look back. Be the new man. Be the new man. You know what it's like to be the old man. Be the new man. Allow your pastimes to change. Allow your priorities to change. Allow, more importantly, your passions to change. And if all this sounds wonderful to you and you say, well, you know, Greg, I would love to do that. However, I don't have the Holy Spirit to make that possible in my life. Well, the Bible says if you want to be saved, you got to believe with your heart and confess with your mouth and pray that prayer to the Lord. And make sure that he understands from your heart that you understand that he died on the cross for you. And now you want to live for him. And he will forgive your sin and he will seal you with the Holy Spirit. He will declare you righteous. He will declare you holy. He will give the gifts of the Spirit and the fruits of the Spirit. And he will do a great work in your life. But you got to believe and you got to pray and you got to ask him for it. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter what your pastimes were. Doesn't matter what your priorities were. Doesn't matter what your passions were. It's what they're going to become. And if you listen regularly, you know that he has shown you and I what is good and what the Lord requires of us, that we do justly, that we love mercy, and that we walk humbly with our God. If you made a decision to follow Jesus Christ today, or heck, even if you've decided to make change in your life, let me know. You can respond to the sermon with comments down there, or you can call the church office and let us know about your salvation experience so that we may rejoice with you. God bless you guys. Have a wonderful evening. We'll see you next week.